This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Mary Kershaw. She's director of the New Mexico Museum of Art, and John Andrews, president of the Shakespeare Guild. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
And continuing in our show today, theme of William Shakespeare, we wanted to talk about what actually was happening at the New Mexico Museum of Art, namely that the first Shakespeare folio is actually here in Santa Fe, which is such an extraordinary event that I feel like playing trumpets or something to herald what a big deal this is. How did it happen?
Well, it is a big deal, and I think you would not be alone in heralding the trumpets if our visitor numbers are anything to go by, because people are coming to see it. And how this came about is the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington decided that this was a good year, as it was 400 years since Shakespeare died, this was a good year to commemorate the Bard, and they are sending a copy of the first folio, or a first folio, actually, to every state in the United States this year, as well as D.C. and Puerto Rico. And every place will have them for a month. And in order to be the venue in New Mexico, we had to submit an application that said we could meet all their conditions and we could do exciting programming. So it was a competitive process to get it here.
And apparently, Santa Fe, New Mexico, is a major Shakespeare center.
It is amazing. What happened when we announced that the first folio was coming, how the community in Santa Fe and New Mexico came together to produce the most amazing set of programming. And we have libraries, various organizations, St. John's College, Renaissance, the Lenzic, and the History Museum, all coming together, and we are producing more events in Santa Fe than there are days in the month in February.
So let's talk for a moment about the folio. One of the events, by the way, is that this Friday at 2 o'clock at the museum, the Mexican Museum of Art, Stephen Grant will be here. Who is Stephen Grant? What will he be doing?
Stephen is a biographer. I had not met him or even heard of him until about 3 years ago when I received a letter from Johns Hopkins University Press asking if I would be willing to take a look at a manuscript that had been submitted there, which was a biography of Henry and Emily Folger. I had spent a decade at the Folger Shakespeare Library on Capitol Hill, and during all of that time, we had desperately wanted to find somebody who would tell how it happened that all of these folios ended up on Capitol Hill. And finally, here was a man who was willing to do it.
And how did that happen?
Well, this was a couple who met at a group that was reading Shakespeare. It was a society, and they would get together, and eventually they married, and because of their love of Shakespeare, they decided to devote their lives to collecting Shakespeare. That's the title of Stephen's book. Henry Folger became an executive with the Standard Oil Company, and eventually he succeeded John D. Rockefeller as president and chairman of the board of Standard Oil of New York. But during all of that time, he and his wife were quietly buying everything that came on the market that had to do with Shakespeare and his age.
Now, what kinds of things?
Well, they would have bought not only folios, the 1623 collection that contained 36 of Shakespeare's plays, but also the earlier versions that were printed in what we would now refer to as paperbacks, what scholars call quartos. So they acquired the world's largest collection of quartos, as well as not only the first folio, but the second, third, and fourth folios.
Now, what are in these folios?
The first folio was actually compiled about 7 years after Shakespeare's death. Two of his colleagues, John Heming and Henry Condell, who had been fellow actors and members of the company that produced the plays, realized that only about half of the plays had ever been published at all, and some of those not in particularly good or reliable editions. And so as a labor of love, what they did was compile a collection of 36 of the plays. They published them in a very elaborate edition, the kind of collection that would normally have been reserved, say, for history, theology, other kind of serious literature. And they managed to get a wonderful foreword, in effect, a dedicatory poem by Ben Jonson, putting Shakespeare in the context of Aeschylus, Sophocles, and Euripides, basically establishing him as a classic who was England's pride, and they were sharing his works with all the world.
Was Shakespeare gone by that time?
He had been gone for 7 years.
And so what did that do for drama in England? I mean, did that say, oh, Shakespeare is, he's the man, let's do all his plays? I mean, did that lead to a kind of flowering of productions?
It did. It did reinforce, Shakespeare was already a very prominent dramatist, along with Ben Jonson and several prominent contemporaries. But I think this really put Shakespeare in a category that was unique to him. And it made all of these texts available for posterity, which meant that you could not only read them, but you could also use them as the basis for performances.
There's a fundamental difference, at least to me, between, let's say, a play and a painting. Mm-hmm. Because a play is a text from which you build a production, it's something you read, and it doesn't, in a sense, doesn't matter that much whether you read the paperback edition that you got in high school or an amazing edition or looking at the first folio, whereas mm-hmm. a painting is the original work, and if you don't see that, you're removed, a couple of steps removed.
Right.
Yet there is this incredible importance that we attach to seeing these works. It's almost like pages of the Bible or something.
That's right. That's right. And it has, I think, really become comparable to the Bible in a lot of ways. A few weeks ago, you may recall, there was a show called Ever the Twain.
Yeah.
And it was about Shakespeare and Mark Twain's America. And one of the points it made was that in the 19th century, every household, no matter how humble, could be expected to have two books, a copy of the Bible and a copy of Shakespeare's complete works. So the Bible and Shakespeare were in something like the same category in the formation of American culture. And they were published not far apart in time. The King James version of the Bible came out in 1611, and the first folio of Shakespeare came out in 1623. And of course, they're both related to Santa Fe's history. Santa Fe was founded in 1609 or 1610.
Oh my goodness.
So when you think about it, Shakespeare was probably writing the play that appears first in the first folio, The Tempest, at the same time that the plaza and the governor's palace were being laid out in Santa Fe.
Yeah. Amazing.
So this book was new.
Yeah. Now, what was it like for each of you to actually lay eyes on this object that's at the museum now?
Well, for me, what's very exciting about it, Mary Charlotte, and why it's important to see the first folio rather than any of the other versions of Shakespeare, is that this book was put together by men who knew Shakespeare well in Shakespeare's time. And so it's that direct physical connection with what was going on then that is what the first folio gives that no other version that we might see that was printed last year gives. Yes, the text might be the same, but the actual object being so directly associated with Shakespeare is what I think really causes that excitement, and that's what I felt.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. It's also important to realize when you look at the first folio or at some of the earlier printings that the language that Shakespeare was using is not identical with our own language. Spelling had not become standardized. There were a lot of ways in which the language was still very much in flux. And when you go back and look at these early printings, you often discover significant ways in which they differ from what we find when we look at a modern edition of them.
Interesting.
Yes.
Does that have any bearing on anything besides minutiae? I mean, would the things that you discover from looking at the original texts maybe help you interpret a drama differently?
It can. Going back to The Tempest, for example, toward the end of the play, Ariel announces to Prospero that his enemies are now completely under his control. And he says to Ariel, they cannot budge till you release. And Ariel says to Prospero, they cannot budge till your release. He then goes on to say that if Prospero could see them, he would be moved to compassion. And Prospero says, dost think so, spirit? And Ariel replies, I would, sir, were I human. Now, that's normally rendered human in modern editions, but that word is always spelled with a terminal E in
humane.
Shakespeare. So it's humane or humane.
Yeah.
So what we now think of as two words in Shakespeare's time was a single word.
Right.
And it's when Prospero experiences Ariel's appreciation for humanity and for humaneness that he is then able to release his enemies and
Very
forgive
interesting.
Them. Yes.
We're talking to John Andrews and Mary Kershaw about the first folio of Shakespeare at the New Mexico Museum of Art. And by the way, the event with Stephen Grant, author of the biography of the Folgers, is this Friday at 2 o'clock at the museum. Now, there are some other events coming up here in Santa Fe, too, over the weekend. And there's so many things that people will have to go online to find them all because we cannot recite them here. But tell us a few things going on at the museum.
Well, what I would say, Mary Charlotte, is I would recommend people look at nmartmuseum.org because there's a first folio section that lists every event Shakespeare-related that's going on in New Mexico. So that's where you can get all the information.
Okay.
But the things I'd like to flag up is on Saturday, we have a day from 1 to 4 with two speakers and then a panel. And it's Shakespeare in New Mexico in the West. And I think this is one no one here in New Mexico should miss. So Heather James will be talking about Hamlet amongst the buffaloes.
What does this mean? What are we talking about?
There's a painting that is showing alongside the first folio, and it's this wonderful image of this huge herd of buffalo. And one of the buffalo is contemplating a skull very much in the mode of Hamlet.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, whether it's this buffalo contemplating his own mortality, I think Heather James will be telling us on Saturday.
All right.
Marissa Greenberg from UNM is talking about the very large Shakespeare array, which I'm looking forward to finding out about. And then Bruce Smith is convening a panel of filmmakers, actors, and academics who deal with the subject of Shakespeare and his influence in the West. So that will be, I think, a really wonderful event.
I think people should also perhaps, when they come to this symposium, go next door to the History Museum and visit an exhibit that Tom Leach, who is head of the Palace Press, has put up. And on the door to that exhibit, there is a wanted poster for Willie the Kid.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And they do amazing work over there. Can you tell us just a little bit about that show?
Well, that show focuses primarily on printing and on how the folio is printed. And Tom will produce for you a copy of To Be or Not to Be set on his press in type similar to that of the quartos and folios of Shakespeare's time.
And the feeling of that kind of paper
exactly.
with that type of printing
yes.
where you can feel the impression of the letters
That's
is,
right.
is
Letter
like
press.
Nothing else.
That's yes. right, yes.
So all of this is going on here in Santa Fe. For more information, people can go to Shakes Guild for the Shakespeare Guild. They can go to nmartmuseum.org. Anything else that you guys want to let us know?
I just want to say that the folio is only here until February 28th, so
okay.
people need to get down if they want to see it. And on the 28th, we will be having an event to say farewell to the folio called Parting is Such Sweet Sorrow, where actors will perform farewell sequences or soliloquies from Shakespeare.
Very nice.
I love that.
John Andrews is president of the Shakespeare Guild. Mary Kershaw is director of the New Mexico Museum of Art. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.